Well, good evening, America, the United States of America. This is Eternal Flame News. We're coming to you worldwide at our live stream channel here at www.jmclive.com, our 24-hour streaming media news, music, puppets, ministry network, you call it. We're involved with it. We have a big lineup for this evening's show. For those of you who watched the preview, you already know what I'm talking about. Well, let me give you a highlight of what we got. We're going to talk about the same-sex marriage, homosexuality. We will go there. We're going to be talking about China and the banks, what's going on there, and Ten Commandments, some rulings on the Ten Commandments. Church handing out food. Is that okay anymore in America? We'll find out. And then what Delta Airlines has stopped advertising because of a vagina manger. I say that with all sincerity because that's kind of really weird. And then at the end, we'll talk about the Mind Comp and what is going on with that. So without any further ado, everyone wants to know, wanting to talk to me about same-sex marriage. The issue at hand, the argument of what should Americans be allowed to do. Across the world, there are people getting married, as they call it, for homosexuality, for bisexuality, transsexuals. People are even marrying their dogs. Yes, in India, I believe, there's a story of a man who married his dog. So there are people marrying things. Here in America, I think someone married their car, had a sexual attraction to their car and married their car. So people are doing things for weird reasons. And I knew I had to do this program tonight because there's friends on my Facebook page that are sharing their stance on homosexuality and same-sex marriage. There are friends on my Facebook and Twitter that are homosexuals, that are bisexuals, they're trisexuals, they're transgender, male, female, female, whatever you want to call it. I have associated with just about any kind of person you can hear of. What I want to share with you this evening for this first half of the hour is not only just the fact that Obama has changed his stance on it and he's come out and said, well, this is not going to be a big push for his campaign, although he raised $15 million with George Clooney for a homosexual event. I've covered this before, and one of the issues that has so far pushed those that are involved with homosexuality into wanting so much rights is not just that their freedoms have been infringed upon, but there have been a blatant attack on those that consider themselves, you know, same-sex attracted. It's going back to the stories where I've talked to my friends and family where they were bullied and kicked out of their homes for their beliefs. You sinner, you can't be here no more mentality. The reason why I'm opening up the program like this is because what I'm going to say is going to be highly offensive to certain people if you don't have an open mind. And other people are going to realize that I'm pretty much set in my ways, that I haven't changed my thinking on this topic. Although, you have probably not heard it on Eternal Flame News, because this will be the first time I mention it. I've said it on JMC Live. I've said it at other speaking events where I've talked about this subject. I've talked to family members and friends about this. And without further ado, what the answer to this situation is quite simple. Is the definition of the word homosexuality, which first and foremost is theoretically not found in the original context of the Hebrew and Greek word of the Bible, meaning the word homosexuality, when you actually look this word up, it doesn't even exist in original origin. This is what I mean, original origin of the word. And the issue is, what was the word used in the Bible before that? Well, it's quite simple. It was just a generic term for sins of the flesh. It was unnaturalism. It was things that had nothing to do with men and women. Although we look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and they talked about men sleeping with men and women sleeping with women. You look in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you see this. You even see it mentioned in the New Testament. But the argument with most homosexuals will say, the word homosexuality is not in the Bible. Well, that is true, and that is wrong at the same time, because you got to realize, if you want to be honest with the American people and the world today, the word homosexuality was not invented yet. That's the biggest bombshell I have to share with you tonight. Is that's the only way you can say it's not. The people of old, the historic etymology of the word, and that's the terminology that we're looking for. What does that mean? You know, you look at etymology, and you can actually search for this, and it's online etymology dictionary, and I'll share with you a few of these, because this is why I'm going to defuse the argument that this word is not in the Bible, because that word, particularly homosexual, may not be, but the act of what a homosexual does is. And furthermore, I'm going to also explain to you tonight is that it is not a lifestyle, it is actually just a sexual act. But the problem is the reason why it's become an act to many people is when someone comes and says to you, I am gay, I am a homosexual, what happens is that person is stereotyped and biased so that that's all they do. And my learnings of the Bible and understanding is that we all are sinners. I'm a sinner. Miranda's a sinner. Those watching the program today are sinners. We are all sinners. As far as I'm concerned, we all need the Savior of Jesus Christ. If we didn't, and we want to nitpick what's a sin and what's not a sin, then there's a problem here. So let me share with you a couple of these. And this is the Online Etymology Dictionary. And for those of you who don't believe that's what I'm looking at, I'll make the page bigger. There it is. Search homosexuality. It's etymoonline.com. If you don't believe this one, you can find it in your library. We have history of 1892, then changed in 1929. This is involving the C.G. Chadwick's translation of Kraft Ebing's Psychopathia Sexualis. By 1880, Gustav Jaeher, from homo, combined form of GK, homo, same, Latin-based sexual. Sexual inversion, 1883. And I scroll down even further, we look at Swedish, and we get this to go, 1756, 1820, 1930s, 1958, 1904, all these different meanings, and I can keep going on and on and on. They even have another one here, which is considered a nasty word, but this is considered a bundle of sticks. But this is the word faggot, according to 1914 and 1590s. The word faggot was considered a bundle of sticks, something awkward that has to be carried. 1590s, the worthless woman. So, as you can see, the history of these words have changed. And this is an adult conversation that we are having tonight. I am sharing with you the honest truth, the origins of these words, so you understand the power of these words and why people are trying to say things are not. Well, when we look in the Bible, and it's quite clear, and Miranda's like freaking out that I know this stuff, because I've been investigating this stuff for quite several years to make certain...
The thing that I didn't know was that definition of what a faggot is, a bundle of sticks.
I know, it was...
the word fag was a cigarette.
Yes, and they do have the word fag about cigarettes in here somewhere. I haven't gotten that far down yet. But 1785, British school slang, a junior that does certain duties for a senior. This is the thing. I'm trying to discredit the whole issue of that.
But the point is, anybody, if you notice, people are just taking words and making them mean whatever they want them to mean.
And that's what we do in America. We have jargon and slang and all these different definitions of words, and we keep translating and redefining what things mean, such as marriage. Well, that's another word that has a big history that you'll see on this website. And you will, if, for those of you that are quite interested, I'm not making this stuff up. You will see the earliest origins in here goes all the way back to 1300. The act of marrying, entry into wedlock, the condition of being husband and a wife, the marriage and the dowry, which the dowry, of course, was where people were paying things. We're talking about 13th, 14th, 15th century old definitions. And it just kept going on and on and on. I mean, there's a bunch of other words in here that keep changing it. Even the word hymenal. You know, the hymen that is broken, that's on a woman's vagina. That's even one of the definitions of 1600. So we keep changing and adding words and changing things and getting to the point where we eventually get to the 1900s, 1800s. What does marriage mean anymore? For those of you that have been to college, for those of you who have been to seminary, have been to high school, you learn the word marriage is a religious origin. In Catholicism, Protestant, Muslim, even going on to Indian religions, going on over to Asia, it has always been, in historical fact, a man and a woman. And the word's been translated in English. So now what's happening is we have a group of people that are wanting to redefine what the Bible says and saying, well, homosexuality is not in the Bible. I can only give you that word as far as it wasn't invented until after the Bible was created. That's as far as you have the argument. This is historical fact. Etymologists are people who study the origins of words and when the words are first created. Now, the Bible I read says we have power in our tongues, that we speak life or we speak death. And today I'm bringing you a wisdom that you don't hear anywhere else about this topic. Today I am sharing you facts, historical facts, not an opinion. So what does marriage in America mean today? It actually has two definitions today. There is a state and federal meaning. When a person gets married, a woman, or depending on the state now, can change your last name. You know, your maiden name can become the man. If you're a man, and like I'm Caverly, my wife was another name, and she takes on my name, you can legally change your name. You can file joint taxes and health care and certain jobs and credit and things like that. It's a financial, governmental issue. Has absolutely nothing to do about love. Because there, I'm taking the Business Law 255 class. Right now you can go to, I think it's Montana or Wyoming, one of the states over in the northern middle, you know, around that area. But anyway, both parties don't even have to be present to be married. They can have someone actually come and fill in. And our professor was showing us a piece of paper with a picture of it. And there was this woman eating a sandwich, literally. And a man was talking on his cell phone. And they got paid to fulfill this role, this statehood role, to actually allow these people to get married. The other thing is, like in the 1520s, the word consummate the marriage. Well, to get married in older religious times, is you had to prove that the hymen was broken from the woman. Huh? And
they had to prove
that she was a virgin, you know, and so on and so forth. So the hymen would be broken and so forth. I'm getting too ahead of myself here. I apologize for that. But anyway, the point that where I'm trying to get with this is I wanted you to understand a little historical fact here on what's happening. And traditionally, marriage, as I said, has two categories. Now the other side is the religious side. Now, if you are a Muslim or a Jew or someone else, you have the woman in most cultures has to be set aside alone. Some of them are covered in oil. They have all these extra rites. One of them actually gets their arms and face covered in henna paint, tattooing. Some of them go through extra rigorous activities to get in shape. Some of them gain weight, like in Uganda and other places. So here in America, what do? It's quite kind of similar. The woman has her little time off alone, and the man does his little thing. You know, they get the suit, they fill out this stuff. But more specifically, depending on which church, if you're a Christian, you go through marital counseling, which me and Miranda have done. A lot of marriages don't go any further than that. And they ask you, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Do you believe in the rights and the beliefs of the Bible? Or do you have the Holy Ghost? These kinds of questions. These kinds of beliefs. Do you attend church? What are you doing? So on and so forth. Well, right now in America, you can get married one of two ways. The Justice of the Peace, which is a state, you know, a governmental agency, which is a piece of paper that you fill out. Or you can go to a church and you can get married, and you have the option. This is something that's taboo that people don't agree with, because traditionally in America, you must have this piece of governmental paper. Well, no, you don't. According to the Bible, it says a man and a woman must commit themselves to the Lord and have a member of the clergy. Actually, this is the controversial part of my show. Pay close attention. Write it down. Go to a clergy, a minister, and actually, you know, oversee and ordain and, you know, agree to this marriage. That's considered taboo. Even here in America and across the globe. You know, because why? Because our government has such a control on the minds of the church and of the people. That's the way we've been raised. It's really clear in the Bible when you get married. A man and a woman will leave their parents and unite and become one flesh. They will be overseen by an elder of the church to ordain and agree that this marriage should happen. Olden days, it was the parents would help arrange marriages. I know that's taboo in America. Arranged marriages don't happen. It's about love. So, quite simply, people are probably wondering, after this being 16 minutes of me talking this evening, what is my stance on homosexuality? I believe homosexuality is a sin. But the problem that we as Christians in the world, not just the United States, is we have the list of 10 sins. Not the 10 commandments. Thou shalt not, you know, sleep with someone else's wife. Thou shalt not be a homosexual. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not cuss people out. Thou shalt only attend my church, because all everyone else's churches are wrong. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Every human being is instilled in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your body to redefine what the Bible means in your own translation. I've talked to ministers and people across the globe, and they will tell me, well, how do you translate this? How do you define what that is? And I'm saying to you today, I can't define and translate what that says. This is what it says, and whether I follow it or not, that is my choice and free will, and it is your choice and free will today as well. See, here's the other issue with this. Because we do have two choices on this issue, 31 states in the United States have actually said a marriage is defined by a man and a woman consummating the marriage and getting married and checking on the last name, so on and so forth. The homosexual community is angry, and they want to have not the religious rights. They're more concerned about health care. They're more concerned about changing their last name. They're more concerned about taxes. I have not met a homosexual that wants to get married that will tell me, I want to get married because, you know, my pastor, you know, thinks it's what I need to do. I've not heard anyone tell me this yet. They told me they want to have the same rights as someone in marriage. And when I have this dialogue, it really comes down to those three or four little rules. So there is a solution to this problem. This is the most controversial next part of my speech. I did not have time to arrange to do an interview with my great friend. But I'm going to highlight, and Miranda's laughing when I say the word highlight, a little quick...
I'm just going to do it. It's an inside joke.
But I want you to know that, yes, in our Constitution, we have a right and free will to support all American people, whether they are Christian or not. That involves having a compromisal solution to this problem. And it's already been defined, but if you haven't paid close attention to what I'm about to tell you, here's where you take notes. In San Francisco, In the late 90s and the early 2000s, and even today, something called a civil union happened. Prop 8 and all these other things were involved in it. Homosexuals got angry that we wanted to define that a civil union had the same legal, state, and federal rights as a marriage, but it did not have the word marriage in it. Some homosexuals, like one of my friends who allows me to talk about him, who's been in a 22-year relationship now since I've last talked to him. So some of the shows I've said since I mentioned it, I've said 20. Well, now it's 22 as far as I'm concerned. He's living on the east side of San Francisco and lives with his boyfriend. One of them owns a business somewhere around that area. But anyway, he candidly allows me to share this story because he believes that the homosexual community is trying to hurt Christians, just like S.E. Cupp, as an atheist, says that she believes liberals are trying to hurt Christians. I have a friend who is a blatant homosexual, will tell you is a homosexual, and has no problem making out with his boyfriend in front of you and holding hands and all that. He will tell you that there's a homosexual group that wants Christians to not have any rights whatsoever, does not want the church to be allowed to make decisions on their own. This man and this other man that are in this relationship have absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ, who is not saved, but is my friend. I make that very clear. I'm not afraid to shake his hand, to hug him. He'll even kiss me on the cheek. I don't care. I'm not bugged out by that. I'm not going to get AIDS or whatever, or an HIV, as some people are afraid of, stigmatism. And what he tells me is quite clear and poignant, is that I believe civil unions give me the same right as marriage, and I don't want to get married because I don't want to look anything remotely like a Christian. I'll say it again, civil unions have the same rights as marriage. So here's the solution, and my friend Tanner Sayers at thecollegeconservative.com actually wrote, "The answer is civil unions, there now, shut up." That's what he titled it. The answer is civil unions. They are now shut up. This is actually connected to some Ron Paul belief. For those of you who have listened to Ron Paul, that probably tuned out a bunch of our listeners because I said, Ron Paul. Ron Paul. Jesus Christ. You guys are afraid of everyone. Anyway, that would be a massive compromise to the whole situation. You would actually go in a database where all this stuff's saved and put the word civil unions. And if you got a marriage yesterday, that's still there. If you get one tomorrow, it's called a civil union. What happens is it means the church would still have the freedoms and rights to decide that they don't want to marry a homosexual. We should be able to have the freedoms in the United States of America that if you are a Christian entity, a religious entity, just like Muslims that want to be able to have Sharia law on the world and want to bring their influence and all the other Asians and African beliefs, there's tons of different people in America that want to have their rights. I believe both people should have their rights today. I just blew a lot of you out of the water saying that. Civil unions. Because that's not the dialogue anymore. It takes away the power of destroying marriage, which 31 states in America think that. Now here's the problem with civil unions. There are still homosexuals that want to be able to say, I got married. Not a civil union. Well, you take that power away. If you allow straight people, gay people, bi people, if you want to get recognized by the state and the federal, you know, you get a civil union. If you want to get married, you go to a mosque or you go to a church or a Catholic, whatever, so on and so forth. You talk about separation of church and state. Here's a big issue of separation of church and state. We're actually going against our own laws here. You know, on June 8th, there's going to be another rally for religious freedom talking about the healthcare mandate, talking about this and more. And yes, this is a Starbucks cup, and I don't care that they support homosexuality. I'll still buy Starbucks and pray for them that they repent of their sins. But that's the thing. I can say you should repent of your sins just as much as I should. And most of the homosexuals I know are right in your own town. They're probably some of your family members. They could be your mother. They could be your sister, your brother, your father. They could be someone you work with. Guess what? The word homosexuality is not a lifestyle. I'm about to get X-rated on you, so I apologize. Homosexuality is a sexual act with someone of the same gender. It's not, hey, how you doing? That doesn't mean you're a homosexual. It means you have a limp arm and you have a high-pitched voice. I made a bunch of you laugh, didn't I? Do you realize people accuse me of being a homosexual because I had a light voice like that at one point when I was a kid. And I talked like that because I was going through puberty. And I had this feminine, I was defined as a feminine face. I wasn't even a man. In school, in the military, people would say, you're a faggot, you're a gay rod, and all this other nasty connotation. Because of how I looked. You really want to stereotype and be biased on a person because of their voice and how they do stuff. You know, I'm looking at the heart. Jesus Christ says that we must judge people with righteous judgment, but at the same point, when you judge someone, do not judge because you will be judged right back. So I'm judging through the eyes of Christ. The only way I know someone's a homosexual is if there are proof of it. Well, how's the proof? You have to tell me you're homosexual, or I'd have to catch you having sex with somebody. Now, listeners of this program, how many of you can raise your hands and say that you've seen someone have a homosexual activity? I had when I was homeless in a homeless shelter. My friends who have been in prison, oh yes, they have, in jail. But majority of you listening to this program have never seen a homosexual act unless you clicked on a website and watched it because you were curious, or maybe you are homosexual. So when I talk to my friends that are involved in this, I clearly tell them this. You are not a homosexual. You might commit the act of homosexuality, which is a sin, but you are actually part of the homogenous, homo sapien human race. We're all part of the human race. There are pedophiles, murderers, rapists, homosexuals, bisexuals, trisexuals, shemales. People have sex with dogs. People that drink pee and eat poop. There are people that do this weird stuff. We're still all human. We still all sin. And we still all need the Savior of Jesus Christ. There is no sin worse than another other than the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, depending on how you want to call that today. So I just covered what needs to be done. Controversial as it is of a subject. For those of you who think I don't like homosexuals, why don't you go look at when I was student senate. I actually took pictures of the homosexual group on campus when I was vice president of student senate. And nobody had a problem with the fact that they may have may not known where my stance was. They were smiling. Why were they smiling? Because I took time to show that I actually loved them. And look, beyond their sin. While I still go home, and when I'm private, I still pray that they repent of these sins. Someone has to have the strength and power to reach out to people today and say and show that Jesus Christ can save them today. And actually mimic the life of Christ. If you can't mimic the life of Christ today in this topic, then you need to repent of being a bigot today. Repent of hurting the homosexual because of their sin. I've seen my family members do it. I've seen people at school do it. I've seen people do it at our elementary school. Glisten had to come to Chillicothe and do an anti-gay bullying event. Why? Because of the connotational words. Now, yes, I don't want to sit here and allow homosexuals to get married. I believe marriage is something that is a religious act. I believe anyone who wants to be recognized by the state to be civil union, whether you're straight or gay, that is the end of that. I know that took up a lot of time, but it had to be covered because too many people don't understand. And like I said, you know, when we start doing Cross Effects Church, we will be defining and showing you the history of our words, the things that we say. Because I said, our words bring life or death. So let's actually find out what these words mean and where they came from. And what we've done with them. That is what we need to do. Now, in another weird twist of fate, and according to business law course, and according to my history involved in the courts and everything, I said my history involved in the courts. At one point, I was going to be a lawyer. That's a whole different story. I read some bar exam books and read some stuff by the Mensa and whatnot. One of the things that's happening in the story, it's the Texas inmate that has residency, and I'm not playing the video, in West Virginia gets 41% of the Democrat Party vote for presidency. Well, I would believe this is null and valid because he's in jail, prison, even in another state, but apparently they're going to let this slide and go. So I'm going to cover this story real quickly with you because I thought it was a laughing stock to not just Democrats, but Republicans do. Why did you even allow this on the ballot in the first place? You know, unless you want to look at Nelson Mandela, who was in prison, eventually became president of South Africa. That's the only, and then some people, I think, in the Philippines, Pakistan, Bahuti. She was in jail for a few years before she became president in Pakistan.
Well, she was also assassinated.
And she got killed a few years later, I think 2007. I wanted to share that story with you to make you realize what's going on in our governmental system where you're going to allow an inmate, to run.
All he had to do
was pay some money.
It was like $2,500. It was $2,000 and some odd.
Yeah.
To just get his name on the ballot.
Get your name on the ballot.
That's it.
That's it. I'm like, what? Get your name on the ballot? What in the world are we talking about?
People voted for him.
Yeah, and people voted. And it's quite.
You know why they probably did it was to show that they don't want to vote for Obama. That they were taking a stand. They would rather have a man sitting in prison who'd done something bad.
Yeah.
Obama's done some pretty bad things too. Some people think he should be impeached and kicked out and everything else. But the fact that West Virginians took a stand and gave this guy 41% of the vote kind of tells you something there.
Yeah, it tells me a lot that something really strange is going on with our system. I understand it, but I don't agree with it. I think it's really weird. And Lord help us. That's what I say. Lord help us. Now on to other news that we want to cover. 9/11, the guys that are still in jail for 9/11. This is the most drawn out thing in the world that I don't understand why it's taking so long. Although, wait a second. We were still trying to try people from Germany last year, so I can see how this is still going on.
But the main brain, the main people that did the stuff in World War II, they didn't take this long to get forth the Nuremberg trials.
Yep. So here we go. The detainees are showing defiance against the harsh interrogation techniques. And they're pretty much saying, I'm not going to talk, I'm not going to do this,
They were just causing chaos and discord in the court.
Yeah, it got... they wouldn't answer any questions, they wouldn't do anything. That tells me that they got something to hide, so I don't want to talk.
No, they just don't care.
Well,
they're not sorry for what they did, they don't give a crap.
Oh, maybe, I'll give it, maybe some of them didn't do anything. But still, the fact the ones that have done something...
They should disrespect, that's
you would think you would want to stand up for yourself, but no, they've been told to not ever talk. It's kind of like our military. Like, that's what I was told. I was told to rattle off my ID number and my rank, and that was it. That's all I was supposed to say.
The other thing they were doing, they got up and started praying and talking, kind of almost in the contempt of court action during the hearing. They got on their knees, started praying, and started making whatever their prayer, saying their prayers, prayer noise, and disrupting the court. I mean, it was a... Oh, and then the lawyer that's defending these guys, there's a lawyer, a woman defending them. They told her that she has to wear one of them burqa things, like the head scarves and stuff.
Yeah.
And they even went as far to say that they wanted all the women that were in the court to have to be dressing appropriately so that they weren't, quote, tempted.
Well, here's the thing. I think they should have just a private trial where they got whatever they wanted. I mean, that's fine, even if they didn't get what they wanted. But they have talked.
No. I don't think so. They don't care.
You know? At this point, I mean, if they don't...
They think they're going to go to heaven and get their 71 virgins.
What I'd like to know is what they were praying. Like, what were the words they were actually saying? Because in some cases, it's probably pretty defiant on very obvious what... That could be used against them.
Yeah, they are very defiant of our judicial system, and they don't care.
Now on to what happened in the midst of all this Obama stuff and everything... Is China's first U.S. bank takeover, okay?
That's a scary thought.
United States Wednesday opened the banking market to ICBC, China's biggest bank, and there's a picture of it in the corner, for the first time clearing a takeover of a U.S. bank by a Chinese state-controlled company.
And the point is, the Federal Reserve did this.
Now, here's the reason why they're allowing this to happen. And I'm for and against this at the same time. It was the Bank of East Asia, but it was a U.S. bank in Asia. And their argument in China is this is a bank in our country. Majority money of our money, because it's the Bank of East Asia. So they're getting majority of this money. The rumor is, and the fear is if they get that one bank, what happens to all the other banks that are failing? Because we owe so much money to China.
Because China is already buying up our debt. So what else are they going to do? What else is the Federal Reserve and the government going to hand over to them?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what else do you do? How else do we move forward in the right direction? So that was one of the big story issues while all this stuff going on actually occurred. At the same point, the Georgia governor... is allowing a bill. We kind of cover this on Eternal Flame News in our editorial site. This is more of an update. And interesting enough, CanadaFreePress.com is sharing this. Check this out. Nathan Deal, Republican Georgia governor, signs an amendment, historical display to allow America's founding documents. Now, what we're talking about, and I'm going to share it here and get away from the Obama image. Because that has nothing to do with this. Check this out. The Ten Commandments, the Mayflower Compact of 1620, the Declaration of Independence, the Magna Carta. Now, as I'm reading these, how many of these have you learned in high school or college? I have to admit, I read a little bit of it. I read all of these when I was in junior high and high school. Verbatim. In fact, in 8th grade, I had to memorize some of these articles. I'm 30, so that's kind of anyway. Star Spangled Banner by Francis Scott Key. The national motto, In God We Trust. Then the preamble to the Georgia Constitution. The Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution. And the description on the image of Lady Justice. An early law in 2006 by Governor Sonny Perdue allowed documents to be displayed only in court buildings in the Peach State. Now, here's the interesting thing in fact. This is historical documental facts of things that have been found in our history, found in the Bill of Congress, in the historical, you know, archives in Congress. These articles and things have been our founding documents for who we are. Now, let me give you an analogy here. An analogy, quite simply put, what about a driver's license? What do you have to do to get a driver's license? Miranda, what do you have to do to get a driver's license?
You have to take a test.
How do you get ready for a test?
You have to study for it.
And why is this test so important?
Because you learn the laws for the roads that you will be traveling on in the state.
Exactly. So here in America, how many junior highs, high schools, and colleges have a Founding Fathers requirmental course? Not very many. It depends on your degree. I'm like, excuse me? And it depends on what public school you go to.
But yet... when you want to become a citizen, you got to learn more than some kids are being.
When you become a citizen, you have to learn several years worth of material. Prove you know how to speak English. Know these things by heart, and you have questions on what's the seventh command? What's the seventh? This and you know, what's Article 3, what's Bill of Rights number 1, what's the preamble of the Constitution, blah, blah, blah. And they have to answer these questions, but we as American citizens get a free ride.
We're not being taught
because
that.
Because we're not being taught that.
And that's a scary thought, because if we don't know our own history and our own laws, then how can we preserve them and stand against tyranny and dictators and communists and socialists?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that people have to realize is when you start, I understand, and this is a phrase they like to use, we need to redefine history. Now, there's two ways of doing this. There's two ways. There's a positive and a negative. The negative one is removing these things are being taught, which is being done in several states. Then on the other side, redefining history positively could be sharing stories that have never been told before. You know, if you want to weigh in on a subject, so okay, well, here's how these people were treated, and here's how these people were treated. This is what was defining documents in power. This is what these people were doing. The problem is, one side of this spectrum, I'm not going to say left or right, because this goes way beyond left or right. This is about following Jesus Christ or following Satan today. There's no in-between. You are either hot or cold, or the Lord Jesus Christ says he'll spit you out of his mouth in Revelation. It's very clear. If you're not saved, you're on that. You're going to hell, whether you believe it or not. I hate saying that, though. Because, you know, the argument is, well, if you don't believe and know, do you get a chance? I believe everyone gets a chance to hear about the Word of God in some way or another. It doesn't matter if someone physically comes to you or not. God makes a way. Because he said he allows everyone to have a chance. So if we keep redefining and changing these things, what do you think is going to happen? And even better yet, what are we doing? In Florida, and I found out here in Ohio, talking to somebody, that if you were a church and you want to give away food, and even hearing this next story, in Florida, and you want to get governmental assistance, you cannot allow people to actually physically donate that food anymore. What we've done is we've become a den of thieves of money. Now, this church in Lakeland, Florida, has the strength and courage today to want to provide prayer and produce. The city and the state of Florida say, no, 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 no. You can't pray and give produce to people. It's a zoning regulation. Jonathan Freed, associate pastor, Believers Fellowship Work of Faith Church in Lakeland, says it's opened the door for us to share the gospel with a lot of people. Church doesn't require that people donate money in exchange for food. There's many times when I don't have anything at all that I can contribute. And I'm able to come and get the things without any donations at times. The city officials are afraid that there's a crossing of their church and code enforcement official laws. And on today, a public meeting will decide whether this stand can stay as it is or be shut down. And we will be posting about this as the story is getting posted. You know, I'm quite wondering what's going to happen next. How will this affect Christian service? Well, when you look at communist countries, and I know people are saying, well, we're not communists, we're not blah, blah, blah. That's fine. That's fine. You can say we're not socialists or communists. I'm not saying that yet either. Until the party in power wants to actually be bold enough to say that.
But you could have fooled me.
Well, Miranda has her own thought on this. We always disagree on everything, by the way. What's interesting about this situation is how can Christians follow Jesus' example if we cannot serve our people without having to go with some kind of government regulation? This is why we're not a prophet, we're not a non-profit, we're not a corporation. We are just me and Miranda. That's all that runs this whole thing. For those of you who are wondering, some big mysticism thing, there's no one else that does all this stuff. It's just me and Miranda. I go to class, I do my schoolwork, and I do the ministry. Why do I do this? Because Christ has told me to do this to serve the people. I don't believe in getting paid for this, and I don't believe getting the government involved, because if the government keeps going in the direction we are going, I won't be able to do this anymore. If I put this moniker of government on it, I'd have 3 times as much regulations than what I'm doing now. I'm just me, a Christian, telling people online the good news of Jesus Christ and sharing stories about things that affect our faith. According to the amendments in our Constitution, I have a free will of speech today. That one of these days in America, I will be told to stop talking. One day in America, I'll be told that this is hate speech. Now, in another interesting turn of events, I know my friends in the military really love this show. It's called The Daily Show. For those of you that never watched it, and I bet you a lot of people probably think, I don't even know what The Daily Show is. Well, when I would have lunch in the Coast Guard, and I'm going to go ahead and call it out, say what it is for what it is, at my unit at CAMS PAC, I'm not afraid admitting that, this is what was played. There were jokes and giggles in the lunchroom. Well, my generation, the 30 and younger crowd, don't watch Fox News, they don't watch CNN, they don't watch MSNBC. They watch The Daily Show, and this has been documental proof. They watch The Daily Show, a comedian on Comedy Central, parodize, make fun of current events in politics and religion constantly. And everything they see is their complete basis on what the world is. You put a joke on it, it lowers your guard down and changes your mind thought on what you want to do. So here it is. Check this out. And I'm going to go ahead and share the image. Delta, which is, you know, a
airline.
They were advertising on The Daily Show. And then this image came about, and I'm going to probably go ahead and click on it and see if I can share it. I don't even know if I should share this, because probably too many people probably think I'm making this up. I got it full screen. I'm looking at it now, and I'm debating whether or not I'm going to share this image or not. I don't, you know, if it's actually on this website, I don't see why I couldn't get it posted on the sites that we are on. It shouldn't have us removed.
If it's not showing anything but just that,
it's,
you know,
it's like she's wearing a bikini of the nativity scene. So, for men and women in the program this evening who are tempted and do not want to see a naked woman with a nativity scene on her crotch, please turn away now. The reason why I'm sharing this image is because people tell me, oh, it's just not possible. They're not willing to degrade our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this bad.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, they are. To make it a little bit better.
Why were they showing this? Why was The Daily Show even talking about this? What?
It's part of a joke that they were playing. Yeah, it's part of a joke of his program. That's the problem.
It wasn't even an article. It was just a joke.
Oh, it's part of an article. And I mean, I'm not even going to share with you the whole woman or the whole scene. I'm just going to share with you, like, the bottom part. Now, here. That's a woman's spread eagle, naked, and, you know, as I move this up...
Well, you can't see anything.
You can't see her genitalia, but you just about can. And for those of you who think I'm making this image up, here's Mr. Stewart mocking our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this horrific image of a nativity scene. There's an angel and a baby in a crib and a man and a woman in this. I'm not keeping it up on the screen that long, so it makes me angry.
Where is Delta Airlines?
Delta Airlines was offended by this fact, and they decided to remove their advertising off The Daily Show.
Good for them. If we stop...
The Catholic League...
If people stop endorsing and sponsoring these shows, they will go away. Because
exactly.
They won't have any money to go on the air.
Honestly, how many people do you think are willing to do what we're doing for free right now? Because right now, as you can notice, the content and the people that come on the show and get involved, some people honestly will not get on my programming without getting paid. Or defame me because I'm not getting paid. Their source of their whole line set and their real God is not Jesus Christ, it's money. Why does it matter if I get paid or not for doing this? If I'm doing a very good job, of sharing the gospel and news and preaching and journalism, it doesn't matter if I'm getting paid or not. Shouldn't I do this programming as an act and a service to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not to you, not to man? I share this story because it makes me sick. Here's what he said in his little dialogue. He said, maybe women can protect their reproductive organs from unwanted medical intrusions with vagina mangers. You know, and nothing's going to happen to him, and nothing's going to happen to other people that are talking about this stuff. It's vulgar. It's offensive.
But yet, if a Christian would make a comment...
But if I ended up putting an image of the gay flag and set it on fire on the show, or much less been like that... Who's that Terry Jones guy and sets fire to Quran?
Yeah, he did that again.
You know what I would do? I'd put my hand on the Quran and pray that Jesus Christ help people follow that. That's about as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to set it on fire. You're invoking, like when I pray with people and I've talked to other people about casting out demons and seeking the Lord, one of the things that we specifically say is you do not pick a fight with the devil. You don't just go walk into this place and say, well, no, you don't. You do it the right way.
And I think people have forgotten how to respect each other.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. Disrespect.
There's no respect.
And there's no etiquette or ethics today. That's just been thrown out the window because what have we talked about? Majority rules. Whatever the majority says goes, that's what people are going to do. It doesn't matter if it's wrong, people are going to do it.
Exactly.
And then they'll hang the people who go against it.
I just don't understand why we continually do the way that we are. I can't grasp why we have to continually want to degrade everyone this way. I mean, we're getting to the point where, you know, in movies and in documentaries and stuff and everything, I was reading an excerpt from Pastor Craig Rochelle talking about how all his friends and people on his staff have watched the movie The Hangover. My neighbors invited me to watch the movie Hangover. And he did a documentation to find out how many cuss words were in this and how much vulgarity and everything. And he said, well, the word F-U blank blank was mentioned like 20 something times or some number. It was over 10. And the word God D blank 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 was mentioned 31 times in this program. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't even know that happened. They were all ashamed. They felt guilty. And he went even further, saying what I've even said on the program. Would you like it if I came on JMC Live or I came to your church and said, you know, you're a stupid MFGD blankety blank blank blank, and said it as many times?
You can't even say that.
I can't
on
even
radio.
Say that. I can't even say it on radio. I can't say it on this program. I mean, I probably could say it on
our
program.
No, we won't say any curse words on this program.
You know, we live in a world today where if there's something funny, we've tuned out these words. We don't even realize they're there. You want to know why we don't realize they're there? Because we look so much like the world. We act so much like the world, we don't not realize anything different.
Also, curse words have become the normal language today.
Yeah.
People have made it. So you hear it so much, it becomes just,
you know,
another, you hear so much, it becomes someone recent, almost like a white noise in the background.
Yeah, someone recently added me on Twitter, and the only word he refers to women is female dogs. And he doesn't mean it as a derogatory term. This man grew up in an urban area, I'm not making this up, because I asked him, why do you use that word? I didn't chastise him, I just want to know what you think. I love learning about what people think, because I can't say anything to you until I know why you're doing what you're doing, and then I can give you my opinion, or I can tell you the word of God, which is the truth. So I asked him, what are you saying this stuff for? He's like, well, you know, this is what we grew up in the area where I lived, and this is how we talk, that's how we define women. It's not a negative thing, it's a sign of respect. Now if I call her a skank, which is another word, then yeah, she's a prostitute and a blah blah blah. So anyway, we keep changing these words. eventually a lot of, and I've looked in etymology, there's a lot of curse words right now that were considered completely taboo that we say today in regular language. We keep redefining this stuff every few 10, 5, 6, 7 years. And as the Bible is true and Daniel talks about knowledge will increase above and beyond, this is not going to stop. You know, look at the movie rating system, TV rating system.
Totally different than it was.
Brandon and I bought a movie, and I won't tell you the title, that was PG. I went and did a historical fact history on it because it ended up having a nude scene. We got rid of it, okay? I looked online, and it said in 1979 this movie was rated R, but when I bought it
four
months ago, it was PG. But I'm making this stuff up. We keep changing this stuff. Why? Because it's about a majority rules decision. And for you to live as a Christian in today, you can't follow current culture and current paradigm shifting mentality. If you are wanting to call yourself a Christian, the Bible, it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not Jesus and what he believes and how we should do things are going to keep changing. The way the Bible is and how it does is not supposed to change. Yeah, some of the words could possibly change, but no. So now I want to go on to this last thing, and I didn't really need to say a lot about it. Mein Kampf, republished in Germany.
That's what you said, republished.
Republished, not, I mean, this book, this is what I was leading up to, was talking about. Why do we keep redefining and rechanging stuff? This was a book that was banned in many countries, specifically Germany, and the argument is now, well, we're not going to not ban it because, you know, it has no power.
Yeah, right.
Pastors and ministers.
There are still Nazis around.
Yeah, there's still Nazis all over the place, you know. Here's the thing. The devil is seeking power through this, and the pastors that my grandmother and I have historically looked up, they will tell you that this whole Mein Kampf thing, they honestly thought at one point that Hitler was the Antichrist. That was one of the talkings in America. And yes, there were many, many, many Christians persecuted and killed because of Hitler across Europe. And the ministries that were talking about this would clearly tell you that this is a book of Satan. It's not, yeah, the argument's going to be, well, it's not the Satanic Bible, Anton LaVey. Okay, it's not the Anton LaVey. This is the book before Anton LaVey.
And this is the book that...
Because in Mein Kampf, what he wants to do is say there's supreme white people, and that gays and homosexuals and all these other kind of Christians... Supreme race. And all these other people have to be killed. And he tells you how to fundamentally change your country...
In ways that are crazy. This is the book he used to take over almost half of the world, people. He did this. He used this book to take over almost half of the world. Why in the world do we want to put this out there for people to buy?
It says the state of Bavaria announced that in 2015, we have a few years, they will republish this. It first appeared in 1925, second volume 1926. The book was written in Landsberg Prison. See, this is the fear, and I'm not just saying the fear in just a little bit, but you got to realize that this is getting out of control. You know, when we keep wanting to change things, and I mean, it can be the definition of what marriage is to, you know, the federal bank issue to the Ten Commandments, finally a good news story, to, you know, Delta taking the right stand for Christians. And you know what's sad? Only Catholics commented on that. Only Catholics were offended by that. They actually got it publicly. That was in the article we read. And now the Mein Kampf. I'm like, this stuff has to be changed. We have to move and transform this situation beyond what it should be. I mean, yeah, people have freedom of speech, and that's the argument of the Mein Kampf being printed and everything. But Christians be warned and awakened to what's happening in our country. You can be like the Catholic leader that stood up and praised Delta. You can be like Delta and say, I'm not going to put up for this kind of nonsense. Standing up for truth, even when it's scary, is still something that can be accomplished, at least in this country. We're not too far gone yet. There's still hope. But we do realize, and one of the breaking event news stories that we're going to be working on is covering why is Israel not allowed at the NATO event in Chicago. All this and more is coming up tomorrow on JMC Live at 9 p.m. Eastern at www.jmclive.com. We will be on air tomorrow. Let me give you a quick preview of what's happening tomorrow. I just covered that one little quick story for you. We're going to cover some RFID Bible prophecy about the military. A lot of stuff's happening in the military. We're going to cover the whole child porn issue on Facebook and all social media. That's going to be a big snippet of our story. There's going to be a bunch of other breaking news things. We're going to find out some more stuff. And I have another story for you that it's going to catch you off guard. What is the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt talking about Jerusalem? I have translated video that I will transcript for you, not play the video. But the plans in the future for the overtaking of Egypt, not just the West Bank, but all the way across and around Israel, and create a new border system, not 67, not any of the 1947-48 borders, but even more. You're going to have to see this tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern at JMC Live. This has been Eternal Flame News. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow if you come tune in. Talk to you soon.